Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. It may be nasty outside, but we've got a trio of warm, thoughtful, and I should say dedicated Johnson County librarians in front of me this morning. Dedicated because they got here in spite of the weather. We're going to talk about some great children's books that just might make for some good gifts this holiday season. We'll read some excerpts from these books, as we always do. And if, by chance, your kids are home from school today because of the storm, and they want to call in with a good recommendation for a book that other kids might enjoy, we'd really like to hear from them this morning. Our number is 816-235-2888. Have them call, and we'll get them right in. Again, 816-235-2888, or they can drop us an email to uptodate@kcur.org. or go to KCUR's Facebook page. Our good Johnson County librarians are Kate McNair, who will give us some recommendations for young adults. Kate, happy holidays.
Thanks for having us.
Debbie McLeod is here. She's an adjunct professor of children's literature at Johnson County Community College and a retired member of the Johnson County Library staff. Debbie, good morning to you.
Hi, Steve. Good to be here.
And Dennis Ross is here, who will talk to us about books for all kinds of young readers. Dennis, good morning to you, too.
Good morning.
Well, good year for kids' books, or what do we have here?
I think it's a great year for kids' books. There's all sorts of things coming out, all sorts of interests. And what's really interesting is we're still seeing that crossover where adults are reading young adult and children's books. It's really an amazing time for children's literature. And I think Kate and Dennis and I have been ahead of the curve because we've always enjoyed reading young adult and children's books.
We knew this years ago. Yeah.
You knew it was going to be a good year. Okay. Well, Debbie, let's start off here with a book, The One and Only Ivan.
Well, this is based on a true story of a gorilla who was held in a mall zoo in the South. And Ivan can draw pictures. And what happens is he's content with his life in this mall. This is all he's known. And then one day, a little elephant, a baby elephant, is brought into this zoo. And he realizes, is this really what he wants? And he needs to find a better life. And the way this is written, it's not... They don't anthropomorphize him, but he's very much a gorilla.
Okay. Well, Steven Steichman, the producer of Up to Date, is going to read us a little bit from The One and Only Ivan by Catherine Applegate. And he's almost ready to roll. You ready to roll?
Yeah. For me. Come on.
Here we go. I'm
filler
here.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This is The One and Only Ivan.
It was Julia who gave me my first crayon, a stubby blue one. Slipped through the broken spot in my glass along with a folded piece of paper. I knew what to do with it. I'd watched Julia draw. When I dragged the crayon across the paper, it left a trail in its wake like a slithering blue snake. Julia's drawings are wild with color and movement. She draws things that aren't real, clouds that smile and cars that swim. She draws until her crayons break and her paper rips. Her pictures are like pieces of a dream. I can't draw dreamy pictures. I never remember my dreams, although I sometimes awaken with my fist clenched and my heart hammering. My drawings seem pale and timid next to Julia's. She draws the ideas in her head. I draw the things in my cage, simple items that fill my days, an apple core, a banana peel, a candy wrapper. I often eat my subjects before I draw them. But even though I draw the same things over and over again, I never get bored with my art. When I'm drawing, that's all I think about. I don't think about where I am, about yesterday or tomorrow. I just move my crayons across the paper. Humans don't always seem to recognize what I've drawn. They squint, cock their heads, murmur. I'll draw a banana, a perfectly lovely banana, and they'll say, "It's a yellow airplane," or "It's a duck without wings." That's all right. I'm not drawing for them. I'm drawing for me.
That's Steven Steichman, KCUR's producer, reading from The One and Only Ivan. And if by any chance you've called while Steven was in here reading, the phone's been ringing a little bit, call back, 816-235-2888. Steven answers our phones for us, so if you called and failed to get an answer, try it again right now. Again,
816-235-2888.
Yes, he does. He has to move very quickly. Dennis Ross, tell us about The Last Dragon Slayer.
Yeah, The Last Dragon Slayer is really a fun book. It's by Jasper Ford, who usually writes adult mysteries. I hadn't read any of his, so he's new to me, but I can see why other people are such big fans of his. Jennifer Strange, the main character, runs an employment agency for magicians. And times are hard because magic is fading, and they aren't in as big a demand as they used to be. And she has to kind of scramble to find enough work to keep this very eccentric group of magicians busy.
Yeah, okay. Danny, better not be touching that. We're having some microphone problems there. When you touch that, the dentist's microphone goes off. Okay.
Well, that's interesting.
There you go.
There's power.
Well, Danny Alexander from KCUR's up-to-date staff is going to read a little bit from The Last Dragon Slayer.
Once I was famous. My face was seen on T-shirts, badges, commemorative mugs, and posters. I made front page news, appeared on TV, and was even a special guest on the Yogi Bear daytime TV show. The Daily Clam called me the year's most influential teenager, and I was the mollusk on Sunday's Woman of the Year. Two people tried to kill me. I was threatened with jail, had 58 offers of marriage, and was outlawed by King Snod IV. All that and more besides, and in less than a week. My name is Jennifer Strange.
Okay. Again, that's from The Last Dragon Slayer, and that was Danny Alexander. Again, if you have a good recommendation for us for a book you've read this year that you might want to recommend to others, 816-235-2888, and our email address, uptodate@kcur.org. Kate, tell us about a book, Code Name Verity.
Yes, this is a great crossover, as we talked about before. Excellent for pretty much any age, adults and teens. It's by Elizabeth Wine, and it is a historical fiction about a British spy named Verity. And in the beginning of the book, she has just been captured by the Gestapo in Nazi-occupied France. Mm. And to try and extend her life a little bit, she is giving them the wireless codes that she has sworn to protect in an attempt to keep them from sending her to a concentration camp. And while she does this, she is also writing her kind of a biography about how she got, how she became a spy, and then how she became friends with an RAF pilot by the name of Maddie, who flew her into France, and they crash landed. So at the same time, she's also very worried about her friend and what's happened to her. But it's a really interesting look at the women of World War II, whose story is not told very often. The things that they did at home. Maddie was a pilot, and she volunteered for the RAF to fly missions. And Verity was a relatively rich Scotswoman who decided to join and become a spy because she was fluent in German and French. And it's a beautiful, beautiful story of friendship and war. And it's great.
Oh, that book, again, is Code Name Verity. I'm always amazed that, you know, that stuff all happened within the lifetimes of some of our parents. And it's just such a different, completely different experience, completely different world that so many folks live through, you know. Yeah, just amazing. Okay. Let's go to some recommendations, some good calls here from folks who want to recommend some good kids' books this year. Macy from Prairie Village, good morning.
Hi. I wanted to talk about one of my favorite book series, Warriors by Aaron Hunter.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Our librarians are all nodding their heads, Macy.
Yeah.
Why do you like it?
Well, just because I'm interested in fantasy, and I like cats because I have two of my own.
Good blending.
Well, that's an excellent recommendation, Macy. Thank you for calling it in. Happy holidays to you, okay?
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Let's go to Paige from Overland Park. Paige, you're on the program. Paige, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
What did you want to recommend to us, Paige?
Junie B. Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody loves Junie B. Jones, Paige.
Okay.
Why do you like her?
Because she does a lot of funny things.
Yes, she does.
Hey, how many of those books have you read, Paige?
I've only read one because I only have one.
Well, you've got a lot more to read because Junie B. Jones has like 20-something books. So
29 books.
Wow.
Good.
Exactly.
Well, Paige, I'm sure glad you called. I hope you have a good holiday, okay?
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Erica from Shawnee. Erica, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Hi, Kate and Dennis. It's Erica. I'm at the Bonner Spring City Library.
Hi, Erica.
Well, you're not a kid, Erica. You're like a real live adult,
she's
right?
She's a librarian.
Yes, I'm a librarian. So I wanted to talk about Every Day by David Levithan, which I listened to on audiobook, and I just absolutely fell in love with. It's about A, and he wakes up in a different body every day, and he never knows if he's going to be a boy or a girl that day, and his world absolutely changes when he meets a girl, and Kate, help me out on her name.
Rhiannon.
Rhiannon.
Rhiannon, yes. So, but it's an amazing audiobook, and it was just an amazing book to read too.
Well, Erica, that's great. Thanks for recommending it to us. That's Every Day by David Levison, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much, Erica. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you too.
Bye-bye. Bye. Well, if by chance you're a kid home from school today because of the weather and you have a good recommendation you want to make, we'd like to hear from you. 816-235-2888 and our email address update@kcur.org. Wesley from Kansas City, Missouri, good morning.
Well, morning. I have three recommendations.
Yes, sir.
One is the Diary of Anne Frank, the definitive edition.
And why did you like it?
Well, I mean, I've known about this book since I was a child, but I just recently read it, and I was so enthralled with the book, I ended up writing Meet Geese, who was at the time living in Amsterdam, and she wrote me a very beautiful letter back.
Wow,
yeah,
terrific.
That's nice, yeah.
Terrific. What else did you want to recommend?
Well, actually, the other book is Anne Frank Remembered by Meet Geese, and she writes a very poignant account of her outside view of the family and during her time there in Amsterdam. And that was also a great read.
Good.
And also the other story that maybe few people even know about, and that is Anne Frank wrote some novels, some short stories, and it's Tales from the Secret Annex.
Oh. Tales from the Secret Annex. That sounds great.
Right.
And also, if you go to BarnesandNobles.com, they have about 62 other different books on the subject.
Okay, that's great. Hey, good recommendations. Thank you, Wesley.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Debbie McLeod, let's go to a book you're very high on. It's called This Is Not My Hat.
Yes. This is by John Klassen. And last year, he had a hit with I Want My Hat Back, in which a rabbit stole a bear's hat. In this one, you have a little fish, and he's wearing a derby that looks like the right size. And he starts off and saying, this is not my hat. And he stole this hat. He's very proud of it. And you see, it's this huge fish that sort of wakes up, and he's looking around. It's like, where is my hat? And this little fish thinks he's going to get away with it because he's going to make it to the algae. He's going to be protected. No one's going to find him, and he has this perfect hat. And what happens? You just got to read the book. Does he get away with it?
It's a really cute book.
Yes,
it
is.
You showed it to me before the show here. You were so high on it. Yeah. That's This Is Not My Hat by Jay Klassen.
John Klassen.
John Klassen. Mm-hmm. Okay. Dennis Ross, We've
yes.
Got a Job by Cynthia Levinson.
Yes, this is nonfiction for, I'd say, middle school and up. It's about the children's Birmingham Children's March in 1963.
Wow.
There were 4,000 black children who marched, and many of whom were arrested. And it's the appeal for
the
this one is
the kids were arrested, too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
A lot of the appeal is the format. It's got large black and white photos, and it tells a story through the eyes of just four of those children. So it makes it very much more personal, and there's a lot of extra, you know, lots of beautiful black and white photos from the time. Well, not beautiful, but, you know, nicely done, I should say.
Yeah.
And it's just really very, very well done book, and it's a good introduction to a subject that a lot of young people may not be very well aware of.
Well, that's terrific. Okay, again, that's We've Got a Job by
yes.
Cynthia
mm-hmm.
Levinson, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Kate, let's go to I Hunt Killers by Barry Liga.
Yes, this is going to be a bit of a departure. This is definitely for your high school crowd. This is about a guy whose name is Jazz, and you probably all know that person in high school who is defined by their parents' job. There's the doctor's son or the mayor's daughter. Well, Jazz is also defined by his father's profession because his father is an infamous serial killer. He killed 123 people, confirmed at least, before he was caught
wow.
in a little town of Lobo's Nod, where Jazz still lives today. And the book opens when a dead body is found outside of town. And Jazz is convinced that it is a someone who's trying to redo all of his father's murders. Another part of the book that's kind of interesting is that for Jazz's father, every day was take your son to work day. So Jazz has learned how to dismember bodies and separate fingers from hands, how to commit the perfect crime, how to stalk and select your victims.
Wow.
And so he also has to fight all of these lessons that he learned from his father while trying to kind of make up for his father's crimes by finding this second serial killer. So it's an interesting thrill ride of a book.
This would be for high school readers.
Yes. It's kind of gruesome. There's some pretty gruesome crime
scenes.
I'm getting that
sense, right? What was your first answer?
I don't think you can write a serial killer novel for younger readers, but it's really fun.
It's almost creepy how much he really gets inside their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Again, the book is I Hunt Killers by Barry Lyga, L-Y-G-A. And Bill Anderson, KCR's program director, is going to read a little bit from I Hunt Killers.
Pound kind of gruesome.
Yeah.
Okay. The human body holds about 10 pints of blood when everything is going right. And Jane still had enough of hers when she died to cause dark purplish areas, almost like bruises, when the blood pooled post-mortem. Jane had been found on her back, but there was evidence of blood pooling on her front and side, giving the flesh of her lower abdomen and left hip an almost mottled appearance. Stop me anytime. Jazz reached into the bag, slipping his hands under her, one near the shoulders, the other near her buttocks. He paused for a moment. It was so strange. He was touching a woman's bottom. It was wrong on so many levels. People matter, he whispered to himself. People matter. People are real. Remember Bobby Joe Long. His personal mantra whispered every morning, a reminder, his own magic spell, casting a shield against her own evil.
That's Bill Anderson reading from I Hunt Killers. Man, yowzer. Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. You have some more good recommendations for young people wanting to call in and recommend good books they read this year. Again, our number, 816-235-2888. Let's go to Haley here from Kansas City, Missouri. Haley, good morning. Hi, Haley.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's the book you wanted to recommend?
Palace Beautiful.
And tell me about it.
It's about, like, two girls that find a journal, and they want to read it really bad.
And do they end
up... What?
Do they end up reading it, Haley?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What did you like about it?
I liked that it was, like, mystery, and, like, everything, so, like... mystery type stuff.
Wow.
Okay.
And that book, again, is titled Palace Beautiful by Sarah DeFord Williams, right?
Mm-hmm.
Haley, I'm sure glad you called. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Haley.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Sylvia from Kansas City, Missouri. Sylvia, you're on the radio program. Good morning, Sylvia.
My favorite book.
Yes?
My favorite book is You take the mask to the movie theaters because he gives you popcorn.
Oh. And this book is titled When You Take Out to the Movies?
When You Take a Mouse to the Movie Theater?
Take the mouse to the movie theater.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, you take a mouse to the movie theater. Okay. How old are you, Sylvia?
5.
You're 5 years old? Are you in kindergarten?
Yes.
Are you in kindergarten?
Yes.
What's your teacher's name?
Mama Zari.
Okay. Well, I'm sure glad you called, Sylvia. Thank you. Bye-bye. Let's go to Isabel from Kansas City, Missouri. Isabel, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
What did you want to recommend to us?
A book called The Cabinet of Wonders.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I like that too.
Yes.
Kate is nodding her head. What do you like about that book, Isabel?
I like it because it's like a fantasy book, and it's where everyone has a certain magical power.
Boy, that sounds great. And you know about it, Kate.
Yeah, it's been really popular.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Isabel, thanks so much for calling in. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to another book here. Debbie McLeod, The Dogs of Winter by Bobby Pyron.
Yeah, this takes place in the early 90s in Russia. It's right after the Soviet Union has collapsed. And when that happened, a lot of people became very poor and children were put on the streets. And there was one boy, and this is based on a true story, who lived with a pack of feral dogs. And this is sort of his fictionalized story and how he survives the winter after his mother disappears. And, you know, he doesn't want to hang out with the groups of children that are on the streets because they're gangs and they're very mean, and he knows where his life is going to go. It's either that or the orphanage. And he starts hanging out with this group of dogs who basically take care of him.
Hmm. And it's based on a true story.
Yes, it is.
And this would be for kids roughly what age do you think?
I'd say from 4th through 8th grade.
Wow. Sounds like a pretty powerful story.
It is. It is pretty good. You know, and you realize how young this child was. In the book, he's 4 years old. He starts off at 4, but in the his real life story was he was like 5 or 6 when this happened.
Hmm. Wow. That's The Dogs of Winter by Bobby Pyron, P-Y-R-O-N, right?
Right.
Okay, great. Dennis Ross, Fangbone.
Yes, it's Fangbone, Third Grade Barbarian by Michael Rex. It's a graphic fiction for younger readers, in second or third grade up to fifth maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It's just plain a lot of fun. Fangbone winds up in a third grade class, but he's a barbarian warrior from another world. And
wow.
he's trying to keep this deadly weapon from the hands of the vile villain Venomous Drool, mm-hmm. is his name, and somehow he ended up being transported into our world and doesn't really understand about being a regular third grader, but his classmates help him out.
Fangbone, and graphic novels are becoming more popular?
Oh, yeah. They have been for a while. One thing that's newer, I think, and a newer trend is that there are more and more for the younger readers, where it started out being for older
folks. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Fangbone, Third Grade Barbarian by Michael Rex. Okay. Kate McNair, tell us about The Raven Boys.
Yes, this is by Maggie Stiefvater, who's quickly becoming one of my favorite authors. It's about a girl whose name is Blue, and she is the only woman in her family who is not clairvoyant. Every woman in her family can tell the future except for Blue. Her special ability is acting as an amplifier to help other women in her family see the future. And the only thing she really knows about her own future is that whoever she falls in love with, if she kisses him, he will die within a year. So she's known that for a long time. And at the same time, there's a boy named Gainsey who lives in town and goes to the privileged all-boys school called Aglianby. And Gainsey is searching for a thing called the ley line. And he thinks if he finds the ley line and a dead king that's buried on it, he'll be granted one wish. And he's been searching for years and years. And he gets his first clue on St. Mark's Eve in a graveyard. And that clue leads him to Blue. And the two of them, along with three of his friends, begin the search for the ley line in earnest. And it's a wonderful atmospheric story.
Wow. And for high school readers.
Yes, for high school.
Yeah, okay.
And adults.
Yes, and adults.
We're talking
yes,
about some great kids book from 2012, some good recommendations, mm-hmm. maybe in time for holiday gift giving here. Let's go back to some phone calls here. Aaron from Olathe. Aaron, good morning.
Hi. I wanted to recommend the book The Fault in Our Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Probably like, you know, high school probably, but I'm 38, but I loved this book. I recommended it to a couple other people that read it and loved it. I've seen it since I read it, I think in People magazine. It's just, it's very touching. It's about two teenagers with cancer. One of them had a terminal diagnosis from the time she was young, and just kind of, I don't know if making peace with that and still kind of living life to its fullest. It's a really good book.
That's The Fault in Our Stars by John Green, right?
Mm-hmm. Best book of the year.
Yes, it's
really?
Wonderful.
Yes.
Oh, great recommendation.
It's been on a lot of lists.
Hey, thanks for calling, Aaron. Appreciate it. Duchess writes this, I am not a kid. I just retired retired early childhood teacher and school librarian, but I have an older favorite read aloud. It is Bark, George. Even middle school kids laugh at the story and the illustrations.
Yes, it's Pfeiffer.
Jules Pfeiffer.
Bark, George.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Duchess. And Susan writes, my daughter suggests these two favorite books, Every Star Has a Soul and 11 Birthdays by Wendy Mass.
Mm-hmm.
Liar and Spy by Rebecca Steed.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
Kate DiCamillo's The Miraculous Journey of Edward Tulane.
Yes.
Oh, sure.
Very good list of books there from Susan. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Noelle from Parkville. Noelle, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
Good. You?
I'm well, thank you. And how old are you, Noelle?
I'm 12 years old.
Well, good for you. And thank you for calling us. What book did you want to recommend?
I wanted to recommend Delirium by Lauren Oliver.
Ooh, yes. Yes.
Ooh. What did you like about it, Noelle?
Well, I really like it because it's kind of like this girl, she falls in love with a guy, and this is kind of in a future, and in the future they think love is like a sickness and you cannot fall in love. So she falls in love with a boy, and in order for her to fall in love with a boy, she has to run away and hide with him, and otherwise people will think she's sick. And at the age of 18, she gets a treatment or a surgery that will fix her from falling in love with anybody. And then she'll be paired up with somebody, and then they live, but they cannot fall in love. And basically, boys and girls are segregated.
Mm-hmm. Ah. Well, what would you think about a world where being in love would be like a disease?
That would probably be really lonely. It'd probably be terrible, I guess. It wouldn't be as happy and joyful as it is.
And this book makes you think a little bit. At least you're making me think a little bit, Noelle. Hey, I'm sure glad you called. Are you in sixth grade?
Yes, I am.
You did a very, very good job on the radio, Noelle. I'm really glad you called.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a good holiday, okay?
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Carrie from Lee's Summit. Carrie, good morning.
Good morning. We're having a snow day, so I get to hear your program during the week instead of just over the summer. So this is a treat for me.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. Terrific.
I wanted to recommend a book called Nursery Rhyme Comics. It's a novel format picture book, but it's an anthology of all your favorite nursery rhymes. And I teach third grade, so my students loved the one copy I got enough that I wrote a grant to get a class set because everyone wanted to read it. And what I like as a teacher is it's a small piece of text that we can read together and talk about all kinds of, you know, nerdy teacher things. But they learn all these nursery rhymes that not all of them know, and then they can enjoy other books that are takeoffs on familiar nursery rhymes. And it's so fun. It's beautiful. It would make a great gift.
Oh, that's a great idea. And it's the nursery rhyme comics, right?
Correct. And they've taken all your favorite children's book illustrators, and they've each done a nursery rhyme. So it's just a huge variety of illustrations. And some of the illustrators have put their own spin on the comic. And it's just really a beautiful book.
Well, Carrie, I feel so badly you can only hear the show during the summertime.
I know.
You know, you could stop your class every day at 11 o'clock and just listen to the show. You know?
I do often play things for them from NPR. I think there's many things that are accessible even when you're 8 or 9 years old that they can be enriched by it. But haven't listened to the whole show before. Well, I'll take that on advisement.
Thanks, Carrie. We also have podcasts. You know, you can always go on kcur.org and podcast the show. So good to hear from you.
Great advice.
Thanks
Thank
for calling
you.
In.
Great show.
Bye-bye. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our good conversation about good children's books of 2012. We'll get some more recommendations from, hopefully, from young readers. 816-235-2888 is our phone number, and our email address is up to date at kcur.org. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And we're back. If you missed yesterday's conversation with psychologist Wes Crenshaw about talking with your kids about Plan B and what to expect when young people come home for the holidays, you can find it in all of our previous broadcasts at kcur.org. Tomorrow on the show, our local music program returns with a look at the best local music of 2012, plus commentator Victor Wishner returns with our latest installment of A Fan's Notes, and Brian McTavish will be here in just a few minutes with your weekend to-do list. Let's continue with our good list of children's books from this year, and let's move on to Goldilocks and the Three Dinosaurs, Debbie.
Yes, this is by Mo Willems, and he's the one who did the Pigeon books, and and this one, it's a take on Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
I got that. Yes. That was the impression I had.
And in this one, actually, the dinosaurs are plotting to trap some unsuspecting little girl by making up three batches of chocolate pudding.
Whoa, okay. Goldilocks and the Three Dinosaurs by Mo Willems, right? Okay,
right.
All right. Dennis, how about Safi's Angel?
Yeah, Safi's Angel is by Hillary McKay. This would be a really good choice. If somebody asks you, what can I buy for a gift for someone where the child and the parents can enjoy the book together, just a charming, gentle read.
For grades 4 to 7 you have down here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's some kind of quirky characters, but it's just charming is the word that keeps coming to mind. This girl, Safi, her real name is Saffron. All the kids in the family are named after paint colors. There's cadmium, they call caddy, and indigo, and rose, and the tension in the story comes when she realizes she discovers fairly late in life, like age 13, that she was adopted. Mm. And she was her mother who was, she was being raised by her aunt because her mother died in a car wreck, and she wants to go back to Italy to find something that she thinks her grandfather left for her as a kind of a keepsake from her younger life in Italy before her mother died.
Yeah.
It's just really very gentle and charming and wholesome story.
That's Safi's Angel by Hillary McKay, right?
Yes. And if I remember right, there are books named after the other kids in the family, too.
All right. Okay. And we'll have all these titles up on our website today, kcur.org. Kate McNair, Don't Turn Around by Michelle Gagnon.
Yes, this would be great. I call this The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo for teens. I think it's good for middle school and high school. It's an action-packed thrill ride of a book. It begins with Noah, who wakes up on a cold metal slab in a warehouse, and there's medical equipment around her, and she has an incision on her chest. And she doesn't know how she got there, where she is, what's happened to her. And she breaks out of the building being chased by men in black suits, and she's a computer hacker, and she goes online to try and find out more about who owns the building, who did this to her, and what could have been happening. And she hooks up with this guy named Peter, who is in charge of a hacktivist network, kind of like Anonymous. And so they team up together along with all these hackers online to try and take down the people who did this thing to Noah and try and find out what happened to her.
My goodness. Again, that's Don't Turn Around by Michelle Gagnon. Okay. Lots of phone calls here. Folks want to recommend good kids' books from 2012. Kate from Overland Park. Kate, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes. Why We Broke Up by Daniel Handler was one of my favorite books this year.
Oh, me too.
Yes.
So, you know, a lot of people know him better as Lemony Snicket from the series of Unfortunate Events, but I really love his young adult work. And Why We Broke Up is about a girl who's kind of an art geek who ends up romantically paired with the captain of the football team on her high school, and her friends are pretty disapproving, and it's an odd match. But the layout of the book is fantastic. It's got beautiful artwork, and each little mini chapter begins with a picture of an item that represents part of their relationship that she looks at before she packs it up to give to him while she recounts the story of their relationship as it went wrong.
Why We Broke Up by Daniel Handler. Kate, I'm glad you called. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Nash from Kansas City, Missouri. Nash, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I came to suggest the book Alcraz versus the Evil Librarian.
Oh, yes.
Oh, our librarians are all raising their heads and nodding, Nash. And Alcraz versus the Evil Librarian. How old of a book would this be for? How old do kids have to be to read this book?
I'm guessing around 8 to 12, maybe.
And what did you like about this book, Nash?
I liked how it had lots of action and a really wild narrative.
Wow.
Well.
And how old are you, Nash?
10. I mean, 11.
11. It's hard to keep track sometimes when you get that many. Yeah.
My birthday was just about a week ago, so I'm just confused.
You're still making the adjustment from 10 to 11, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, what are you hoping for to get for Christmas?
A Ridley's Strange But True book.
Ooh.
All right.
Fun.
That sounds great, Nash. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm glad you called. Happy holidays to you.
Mm-hmm. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Oliver from Lee's Summit. Oliver, good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
The the book I'm going to recommend is The Familiars. Mm-hmm. It is one of the Mark Twain's this year. I read all the Mark Twain's, but this is my favorite.
Wow.
It's like there's three animals, a cat, a bird, and a frog, and they have their owners, but then the owners get captured, and like they're magical, and then they go on a big long journey, and so there's a little bit of magic in it, and a big adventure, and then just a lot of care, like caring for their friends and just trying to go save their owners.
Wow. Again, that's Kid, The Familiars. The Familiars by Adam Epstein and Andrew Jacobson, right?
Yep.
And how old are you, Oliver?
10.
Okay. And this is a series of books, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Oliver, thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Julian from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. What would you recommend
to
us?
How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. What book did you want to recommend?
I would like to recommend The Lightning Thief by Rick Riordan.
Oh, yes.
Oh, everyone likes that book. That's a really good book. Why did you like it?
The whole series is, actually.
What did you like about it?
I would like the part when the main character, Percy, goes on the Mount Olympus to return the lightning bolt to Zeus and the gods.
Wow. What grade are you in, Julian?
I'm in fourth grade.
Okay. Well, I'm really glad you called us today. Thanks so much for making the effort, okay?
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's move another book here, Debbie McLeod, The Hero's Guide to Saving Your Kingdom.
Yes, this book is sort of expands the story of what happened to Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, Cinderella, and Rapunzel. Really, the Prince's Charming. What happened? Was there happily ever after? You know, who were these Prince's Charming?
Okay, and it's The Hero's Guide to Saving Your Kingdom by Christopher Healy, right?
Correct.
Kim Noble, KCUR's morning host, is going to read us a little bit from The Hero's Guide to Saving Your Kingdom.
Prince Charming is afraid of old ladies. Didn't know that, did you? Don't worry, there's a lot you don't know about Prince Charming. Prince Charming had no idea how to use a sword. Prince Charming had no patience for dwarves. And Prince Charming has an irrational hatred of capes. Some of you may not even realize that there's more than one Prince Charming, and that none of them are actually named Charming. No one is. Charming isn't a name, it's an adjective. Well, don't blame yourself for lack of Prince Charming-based knowledge. Blame the lazy bards. You see, back in the day, bards and minstrels were the world's only real source of news. It was they who bestowed fame upon people. They were the ones who sculpted any hero's or villain's reputation. Whenever something big happened, like a damsel was rescued, a dragon was slain, a curse was broken, the royal bards would write a song about it, and their wandering minstrels would perform that tune from land to land, spreading the story across multiple kingdoms. But the bards weren't keen on details. They didn't think it was important to include the names of the heroes who did all the damsel rescuing, dragon slaying, and curse breaking. They just called all those guys Prince Charming.
That's Kim Noble reading from The Hero's Guide to Saving Your Kingdom. That was a good choice of a reader for that book, I think. Yeah. Debbie McLeod, tell us about The False Prince by Jennifer Nielsen.
Well, I tried to tie the two books together because it all deals with princes. In The False Prince, it's almost like a prince and the pauper. You have a kingdom where the king is very ill, and his son has disappeared or had disappeared a very long time ago. And there is a nobleman who decides it would be politically to his advantage to somehow find this lost prince. And he goes to various orphanages and he gets three candidates and he trains them all. And one of them is to present himself as the lost prince.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, there's a lot of twists and turns. It's really a very, very good book.
Grades 5 and 6 you're recommending here.
Yes.
The False Prince by Jennifer Nielsen. Dennis, how about The Sharp Time by Mary O'Connell?
Yes, now this is another one I would recommend for high school. Mary O'Connell, I believe, lives in Lawrence, so we might have a chance to see her in person someday.
Oh, sure, yeah.
The main character is Sandinista Jones, and she's 18, and her single mother has just died, so she's pretty depressed and feeling pretty alone and lost in the world, and she lives in a very, very thinly disguised Kansas City, on the streets of a very... You know, you can see it, you can smell it, you can hear it. It sounds just like our town, but all the streets have slightly different names and the shops have slightly different names. But it really gets across the atmosphere. You really feel like you're somewhere in Midtown most of the time. And she finally finds a job in some funky little shop called the Pale Circus, a vintage clothing shop, and makes a friend and tries to find a way to make a new life for herself.
That's The Sharp Time by Mary O'Connell. Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, she's from Lawrence.
Very impressed with the writing in this book.
That's terrific, yeah. Okay, again, we're talking about good children's books of 2012. Our phone number here, 816-235-2888. Let's go to Paulina from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Good morning. There's two books I'd like to recommend.
Yeah.
One is called Sonia Sotomayor, A Judge Grows in the Bronx. It's in English and in Spanish because we like our Latino children, especially who don't speak English, to be able to read some books as well. And it is wonderful. It tells her story, how she grew up, and it's just really great for self-esteem. And the other book is called Nancy. It's written by Jane O'Connor. That is a great, colorful, wonderful book that young girls love as well, too. And it's also, too, done in English and in Spanish. But both of the books are really family-oriented. So that is one book that a lot of the little girls I know just really admire. They really like those, too.
Paulina, great picks. Thank you for calling in today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Rebecca from Raytown. Rebecca, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I would like to recommend Half Upon a Time. It's a good book. It's about a fairy tale world, but it's not... It's more of an older kid's book, but it's about a boy named Jack, but his father was the one who climbed the beanstalk, and his father died because of that, I guess. And
this would be for kid. Yeah, go ahead, Rebecca.
He was looking for a princess, but actually his grandfather was looking for a princess for him to marry, but he couldn't find one. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this girl from the real world falls out of the sky. It's really weird, but it's also very interesting.
Right. Well, it sounds like it's Half Upon a Time by James Riley, right?
Yeah.
Rebecca, I'm really glad you called. Thanks so much. Oh, you have a second one too, Rebecca? Yeah, okay.
Excuse me, what?
Rebecca, thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Let's go to Maggie from Kansas City, Missouri. Maggie, good morning. Are you there, Maggie? Okay. Well, we are out of time here. I want to thank our good librarians for coming in today and offering up such great recommendations. Kate McNair, Debbie McLeod, Dennis Ross, all with the Johnson County Public Library. Debbie also teaches at Johnson County Community College. Happy holidays to all of you, and thanks again
Same
for weathering
you.
This storm
thank
and coming
you.
In today.
Okay.
You're welcome.